SportsCent 960's NFL insider Jason LaCanfora, brought to you by Shank Sports Grill. Watch as the Atlanta Falcons take on the New England Patriots Sunday, February 5th at 4 at Shank's North and Shank's South, your headquarters for Super Bowl 51.
Welcome back to Shanks and Crowfoot Terrace. Pat Steinberg along with you on this Tuesday afternoon. It's a Flames game day. That's what we're doing here. Flames in Montreal at 5:30. But now we welcome in our NFL insider, Jason LaCanfora from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. Mr. LaCanfora, how are you today?
I'm okay. Everything good there?
Everything's very good here. Very good here. And we got lots. I know the Super Bowl's still 12 days away, but we've got lots to talk about before then. And got some interesting questions, at least interesting to me, on the actual matchup itself. But before we do that, let's start with the teams that were eliminated on Sunday, on Championship Sunday. And we'll start with the Pittsburgh Steelers, because all of a sudden some buzz surrounding Ben Roethlisberger and his future. Went on a Pittsburgh radio station today, would not commit to coming back and playing in 2017, talked about his health, talked about needing to reevaluate. What did you make of what Ben Roethlisberger had to say today?
I wouldn't lose any sleep over it. I wouldn't sweat it. I wouldn't have any concern over it. It's the end of the year. Guys are going to rant. You know, they're going to kind of let off some steam. He just signed a long-term deal. He's in pretty good health. He's not going anywhere. Ben likes drama. Ben likes to stir this stuff up. It's part of his mystique. Trust me, nobody's sitting there right now in Pittsburgh saying, oh, my God, oh, we better do more draft, more work on the quarterbacks in this draft. Like, oh, boy, what are we going to do? How are we going to replace Ben? It's Ben being Ben.
I think that's a pretty definitive answer. So don't worry would be the message from Jason LaCanfora on the Ben Roethlisberger news or comments today. Okay, so with that being said, Ben Roethlisberger comes back next year. This team gets to the AFC title game. Once they get healthy, they look like a real powerhouse. Once they had Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell and Roethlisberger all healthy at the same time, they were a handful. How bright does this future look looking ahead to next season for Pittsburgh?
I mean, I think pretty bright. They were one of the hottest teams in the league in the second half. They got the defense fixed. That didn't look that way, obviously, against Brady. But, I mean, that's at Foxborough against Brady in a championship game on a day when their star running back never even really gets on the field. So, you wouldn't get too, you know, caught up in that. I think the biggest gains they made were on defense. Shazier, you know, really came into his own. Bud Dupree was a legitimate pass rusher in the second half of the season. And there's some, you know, they haven't had an edge guy, a young edge guy like him with some speed in quite some time. Harrison says he wants to play another year. Artie Burns, some of their young corners, the corner slash safety, Davis, played very well. And they, you know, traditionally draft well, and I think they'll continue to plug some of those holes on offense. It's a juggernaut. I mean, the offensive line, most of those guys are signed for the long term. They're going to have to work out a deal with Le'Veon Bell, and they're going to have to figure something out with Antonio Brown in terms of extensions, but they'll get that done. If they have to franchise Bell, that'd probably be their worst-case scenario, but he's not going anywhere. So, yeah, I think they've got a nice window there. Remember, they had no Martavis Bryant all year and no Marcus Wheaton. They're getting back
right. Two
of their top four receivers. So, and you look at, you know, what they did sort of along the way this year. And Ladarius Green didn't really play for them this year that much. You know, he missed the first half of the year on the PUP list. He came back. Once he got into that offense, he was a real threat, and then he had the concussion that kept him out of the final few games. And he does have a concussion history, so, you know, there's a caveat there. I don't know if you could pencil him in for 16 games next year. But, yeah, I like Pittsburgh a lot. Baltimore is still down. Cincinnati's still down. I don't think either one of those teams is going to be a juggernaut next year, and Cleveland's the worst team in the league. Pittsburgh will be hosting a playoff game next year.
Then there's Green Bay, who really could not get out of their own way throughout most of the first half of the season, then go on that incredible run in the second half. They win a couple playoff games and then end up losing in the NFC title game in Atlanta. So what are these Packers? I mean, are they closer to the juggernaut they looked like down the stretch, or is there still a little bit of that first half Packers in them?
I mean, I think they righted some things. They figured some things out offensively. They got back in a rhythm between, you know, Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers. Remember, there was drama at the beginning of the year about who would be calling plays, and it was, you know, Tom Clements for a while. And, you know, is McCarthy going to stay with it? I think they sorted that out. They got Jordy Nelson healthy. They've got to get better on defense, though. It's the personnel is just not there on that side of the ball, and that's why I think early in the year, even in my predictions, I'm like, look, this is not the roster it used to be. If this team reaches the heights that some think it can, it means that Aaron Rodgers has had another out-of-this-world season. That means that Aaron Rodgers must have been the best player in football. And the final 8 weeks of the regular season and the first two rounds of the playoffs, he absolutely positively was. And that lifted them from 4-6 to ultimately, you know, at one point, I guess they were, you know, what, 12-6 before they went into the championship game. So, you know, he's the best player in football, and that's going to give them a chance. And again, that division isn't great. So I think, they'll be in okay shape, but I think their defense needs a lot of work. They need to find their Bud Dupree. They need to find their Ryan Shazier. I mean, Matthews is getting long in the tooth. Peppers is a situational guy at best now. The D tackles is not what it used to be when they had, you know, B.J. Raji in his prime, and they had Cullen Jenkins and some guys like that. They've decayed on that side of the ball at a lot of positions. There's just no two ways about it. They signed some corners to big contracts that haven't exactly panned out. So I think Ted Thompson's got his work cut out from him on that side of the ball. I think they were 31st in the league in yards this year. I mean, that's not a whole lot going on that side of the ball. So I think, you know, they'll probably be a similar team next year, and that Aaron Rodgers will have to continue to carry them as they try to retool on defense, and we'll find out in January how far he can carry them.
He's our NFL insider, Jason Lockenfora, who joins us every Tuesday and Friday here on the Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Looking ahead to Super Bowl 51, you know, here we are 12 days away from kickoff, but everyone seems to be predicting right now, as soon as the NFC and the AFC title games were done, everyone was predicting a high-scoring game. Is that kind of the same wavelength that you're on 12 days out?
I think so. I mean, I don't remember what the – I know that the first game, the NFC championship game, went over, even though that number was historically high, right? That game, I think the over-under was around 60. And that went over. I wasn't sure what the number was on Pittsburgh and New England. I thought it would be high scoring. Obviously, most of the scoring was done by New England. But I think that went over as well. These teams are going to score points. You know, that's the reality. You've got two quarterbacks who are in peak form, who spread the ball around, who each week another guy could be a hero. You know, that's a real similarity there. You know, in Atlanta, it might be Taylor Gabriel one week. It might be one of the two running backs the next. I mean, yeah, they've got Julio, you know, but Mohamed Sanu was kind of carrying the load for a while at times. Remember when they had the toe injury down the stretch with Jones, and they were nursing him. And in Oakland, I don't know where that came from. In New England, last week it was Hogan, right? And some weeks it's Edelman. And, you know, before he got banged up, it was Amendola. And you even saw Floyd make some plays. And, Michael Bennett, Martellus Bennett, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm losing my mind. Martellus Bennett has been the hero some weeks. They spread it around. Some weeks LeGarrette Blount carries 30 times. Some weeks he carries two. You know what I mean? It was Deion Lewis this week. I think that it's hard to keep all that down. You know what I mean? It's hard to suppress all that on the other side of the ball defensively when you're facing offenses like this. You've got two of the master schemers in the NFL. Josh McDaniels pulling the strings of New England's offense from a coordinator standpoint, and Kyle Shanahan doing it for Atlanta, likely for the last time, as you know, he's set to become the head coach in San Francisco. So, you know, yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of points scored. I think Atlanta may have, in some regards, the better defense because I think they have a few guys who can get after the passer a little more naturally. And often in these games, that is the difference, especially when you're talking about quarterbacks who play at this high of a level.
When we talk about this game, there's always, like, you see different, at this time of year when you're getting set for a game that's 2 weeks out, all kinds of things are written. But I found it really interesting today seeing on I think three different network websites kind of the same story written about how this is New England's opportunity to stick it to Roger Goodell, the commissioner,
yeah,
after what happened at Deflategate. How much of that actually plays into what's going on in New England's head right now?
Well, look, when you win as much as they do, when you've been, historically speaking, certainly the most prolific franchise of the salary cap free agency era in the NFL, and you could argue they are the greatest dynasty in league history, then you have to sort of come up with motivations, right? You have to continually, when you're literally playing the AFC Championship game pretty much every year, you've got to find ways to keep a chip on your shoulder and find ways to, you know, reach that extreme levels of motivation that it takes to win in a game that's this competitive. So, yeah, any slight or perceived slight against them, they are very adept and acute at latching on to and ratcheting it up a few notches internally for motivation. Tom Brady still gets off on the fact that how many teams passed on him, how many different times, and how many guys were picked ahead of him, and just how many quarterbacks were picked ahead of him. And, you know, Belichick, I think when he's feeling too good about himself, he goes and reads the clips when they ran him out of Cleveland, you know, and people, you know, couldn't wait to get him out of there. So if you have a year in which you don't think you really did anything wrong, and you certainly don't think the league proved you did anything wrong, mm-hmm, and they made an example out of you, and they took away your draft picks, and they told arguably the greatest player in the history of the NFL, stay home for 4 weeks because we think it's more probable than not, right? Ted Wells in his big report, it's more probable than not that you may have known something that was maybe happening with these footballs that may or may not have had any influence on the game whatsoever. And he sits for a quarter of the season, and he comes back and he plays like a stallion again. For them to have this season end, you know, four quarters away from having Goodell have to look them in the eye and hand them that trophy, you don't think that when before they're falling asleep, as much as they've won, guys like Belichick and Brady aren't still thinking about that with a bleep-itty grin on their face? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. And it's going to be awkward up there on that podium if they do manage to beat the Atlanta Falcons in 2 weeks.
Which will not be an easy task. Here's a Falcons team that has one of the most explosive offenses in the NFL, showed it on Sunday in the NFC title game. But, Jason, for the longest time, the Atlanta Falcons have been an outstanding regular season team. They're a perennial playoff team. You know, the kind of the core group with specifically Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, but a couple of other guys are in that group as well. This team has had a lot of trouble getting over that hump and winning the big game. Well, this year they've won not one, but two big games,
right,
in the postseason. What's changed? What has allowed Atlanta to get over the hump and be representing the NFC in the Super Bowl?
Well, they've not that they've had a fortress at home before, but they've been able to play at home. They're a dome team. They're built for that dome. It's one of the faster surfaces in the league if you talk to guys. And they're a speed team, built for speed, and not built to be playing in the snow and the rain and the sleet and the mud. So that's part of it. They've got the coordinator there, Kyle Shanahan, is at the top of his game. As we said, he's about to become a head coach. And after butting heads with Matt Ryan last year, that those two are on a wavelength that very few others can match. Unfortunately for them, McDaniels and Brady can. You've amassed a lot of weapons there. And the defense, I mean, look, for years, they haven't had a pass rusher there since John Abraham was in his prime. Well, Vic Beasley led the NFL in sacks. So, yeah, it's a bend-don't-break defense because, you know, they'll let you get yards between the 20s, but he kills a lot of drives with third-down sacks. And specifically sacks, you know, around the 20 that might drive you out of field goal range and that certainly prevent you from getting seven. They can get pressure from a couple of different guys there now. And they've upgraded the defensive backs as well. And in the 2 years in Dan Quinn's scheme, and that's a very complicated, different sort of a defense to take hold. And they struggled in the second half of last year with it. And things have clicked. So this is certainly the best team they've had there, you know, in quite some time. They've had some decent offenses. Obviously, they had years with Michael Turner where they ran the heck out of the football, and yeah, they've been on the cusp of this in some years in the past. But they've got the best roster there that they've had in quite some time. A lot of those teams that made the playoffs – you know, when my buddy Tony Gonzalez was there, they really knew they couldn't play any defense worth a damn. They knew they weren't tough. They weren't physically built from the inside out, and they weren't as tough in the trenches as they are now. And they have changed the complexion of that team over the last 2-3 off seasons.
And now here they are representing the NFC in the Super Bowl, and Atlanta and New England kick off in 12 days. We'll have it for you here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We got a number of visits with you until that point, Jason, so appreciate this, my friend. We got lots to talk about when we meet up again on Friday. Thank you as always.
Always my pleasure. Thank you.
He's Jason Lockenfora. He's our NFL insider from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He's brought to you by Shanks. Shanks is your home for the Super Bowl in Calgary. And quite honestly, unless you're going to be in Houston for the game, I can't think of a better place to watch than here at Shanks in Crowfoot Terrace, where we are right now, or Shanks on McLeod Trail South. Calgary's largest event screens. Even if you are here a little bit later and can't get yourself in front of one of those event screens, they've got big screens everywhere, drink specials, food specials, and Calgary's best football watching atmosphere. Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, is a week from Sunday. The Flames take on the New York Rangers that afternoon, so come on down early, watch the Flames take on the Rangers. Stick around for the Patriots and the Falcons all day at Shanks, Shanks North and Shanks South, your home for the NHL and the NFL in Calgary.